here we are, sitting around the table in the podcast studio. In our one and only podcast this month, with the October prayer challenge, we just decided we would do kind of right in the middle of the month. We would do a podcast to encourage you, and even in our podcast today, we're going to really focus on really what we're doing in the daily prayer challenge is just how prayer affects our own personal growth. So. I'm here with, as always, sitting back in our normal spot.
Normal.
Yes.
Nicole and Drew.
Finally. Drew did not sit in my seat today. I was very happy.
Sat in my seat.
Yeah, and I got here at the table first, so then I got to sit where I wanted in my normal spot. Well, we were just, before we started recording, we were talking about some of the books that we've all been reading. And now that we're in fall, getting into winter...
Yeah.
Where Woo-hoo! The nights will be really long, no sun.
That doesn't make me super happy either.
But it does lend itself to sitting by the fire, reading a book. I don't know.
Oh. No, that means heat. No heat.
Wait, that makes me really happy.
Yeah.
But Nicole just finished, I know you just finished reading a book. Is this, how many times have you read this one?
This is, I think, my fifth time.
Okay. All right. So why don't you tell what you've just finished and why you keep going back to it?
So it's called Hinds Feet on High Places, and I honestly don't know how to pronounce her. What's that last name?
Hernard.
Mm-hmm. Hannah Hernard. Sorry. And the first time I ever read this book was right after I returned from Z-Hop. So that would have been back in 2009. And so, I don't know, it was recommended to me, and so I read it, and then again, I would say 2 months ago, during my quiet time, the Lord was like, hey, you remember that book? You need to read it again. And it usually only is when my heart's a little hard, and so he's like, you need a little softening, so here you go. So now I know why he gives me the assignment. But basically, the book... Hinds Feet on High Places is an allegory of the Song of Songs. But what I love about Hannah is she brings in so many different scriptures into the allegory, into the story. And then, and those scriptures describe Jesus as shepherd. As the good shepherd. And so it's like this... journey that this young maiden goes on to basically find love, and it is the true love of the shepherd, of the Lord. And so I don't want to say too much because I didn't know anything about it when I first read it, and it almost was like Hannah jumped into my head and wrote my story in a book. And the best thing about it was the redemption that happens throughout the whole thing. And so she goes on a journey of leaving behind a life of fear, a life of disability, a life of just being crippled by other people, and her journey of learning how to walk on the high places with the shepherd. And so it's amazing. I really suggest it.
Have you read Master Potter by Jill Austen?
I haven't.
Okay, because that when you're talking, that just, to me, that book, I literally read, like, the foreword, and I got, like, the first paragraph in the first time I read it, and I was, like, on my face. And I thought, oh, no, it's going to take me years to get through this book.
It's true. And to all of you podcasters listening right now, I'm not a reader. Like, I'm not a big reader. Reading is not something that I just... come alive doing. And so the fact that this book has captivated me for so many years now, and I learn new things each time I read it, that's why I would definitely suggest this one. The main character, her name is Much Afraid. And so it hit very close to home, just as I've struggled with fear most of my life. And so, Hinds Feet on High Places.
That's
Hannah.
Awesome.
Hernard.
Awesome. And then, Drew, you were sharing. And actually, what were you going to be? Oh, it's not the same one that you're going to share during
no, this
our.
Is,
oh, yes, our resource. Okay.
Yeah. So I've been reading a couple different books lately, and I'm not sure which one I would say has been my favorite. I finished one on, it was called Eve, and it's by the same guy who wrote The Shack.
Oh.
W. Paul Young or something. Really good. Skip through the first chapters, and then you'll really love it. But it was really good. I really liked that one. Kind of on identity and how we relate to the Lord and all of that as the bride, and just really good.
I kind of want to borrow that.
And then I'm reading one on the Psalms right now. It's called The Psalter Reclaimed by Gordon Wenham.
Don't you want to run out and get that one?
I do. It's really good. So I'm going through a study in the Psalms on my website and kind of just going through some of my favorite Psalms and reading the Psalms as whole, the Psalter as a whole. And so I've been reading this book, and it's really interesting. I really appreciate kind of because the Psalms are a practical book. You can't just read them theologically and academically. Yeah. So it goes through how we experience the Lord in the Psalms and what they mean and what they've meant through church history. And so, yeah.
So, okay, with that, drewpetty.com.
Yep, drewpetty.com.
Because you're doing...
Shout out.
Yeah, right. Shout out to drewpetty.com.
Every week there will be a new lesson on some psalm. So stay tuned for Psalm 1 next week.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, and mine that I have on my 18 books that I'm reading all at the same time. Because I've jumped into the world of the... having
electronic
book world, because it's so easy. I hear somebody talking about it, I'm like, oh, I want to buy that. Oh, I can buy it right now. That's literally how it goes. So
you can't do that for like clothes.
It's true, right?
I broke.
So Lindsay, in her, my daughter, in her Bible study, they're reading a book called Missional Motherhood, and it's really, really good. So I bought that to read.
Yeah.
To read along with them. So I've been reading that as well, even though I've already raised my children. I don't know. Let me tell you. I'll look it up right now because I can. It's right here on my... Okay, Missional... Oops, wrong one. Missional Motherhood is by a gal named... Oh.
Pat, I don't know. Gloria Furman.
And Missional Motherhood. That's really good. And then my friend Shelley... just gave me I love the Stormy O. Martian Power of a Praying Wife, Power of a Praying Parent, and I still do those pretty consistently when I sit with the Lord in my car, is where I have my quiet time, my time with Jesus. So she gave me Stormy O. Martian's new book, The Power of the Praying Grandparent. So that's been really fun.
Well, there you go.
Yes, I don't like to admit that part of me, but, you know, call it what it is.
Praying Nana.
The power of the praying Nana.
You could write your own book.
I could write my own book. Maybe I'll do that next.
Bring in the tabernacle somehow.
Yeah. Oh, I would totally be able to. I could totally bring in the tabernacle. It's true. So those are. Oh, and then the Circle Maker. I'm always reading the Circle Maker. I feel like that one just lives in my. It lives in my heart. So those are three of them that I'm reading that are. Kind of affecting me again. I feel like too, like you're talking about the hind's feet in high places. You know, it's just good to revisit some of those books that we've read before, because every season that we're in, the Lord speaks to us something different. So,
well, when the Lord tells you to read a book, you read a book.
You need to obey. That's right.
Obviously.
Well, we're gonna take a short break, and then when we come back, we're gonna jump into our topic. Our theme for this month, for this podcast, is really prayer and our personal growth, which connects again with the monthly prayer challenge that we have going on. If you want to hook up with that, it's on our Facebook page, Omaha, Nebraska House of Prayer. All the days are on the website as well. So we'll be right back to start that conversation.
Welcome back. So today's podcast, we are going to be talking about prayer and personal growth. So we hope that you have been joining us on Facebook or our website for this month's prayer challenge. We've been doing 31 days of how scripture, praying the promises of God can strengthen us and can really increase our personal growth and really kind of what we talked about last month too, intimacy with the Lord. So I just want to give a few examples in my own life of personal growth. that I've experienced through prayer. I would say for me, prayer was very weird. I didn't grow up in the church, so that might, that's, we have a different concept here at this table, which I love. So prayer, talking to, it felt almost like talking to an invisible friend, like when it was first introduced to me. And I had invisible friends when I was a kid, so I was like, okay, well, I can kind of get that.
That's awesome.
It was better than talking to yourself. And so I didn't understand the concept. And as I began going to church as a teenager, and my pastor, youth pastor, really began to call prayer out in me. Mm. And I didn't even know what that meant at the time. I didn't know what he was really referring to, but any opportunity to pray, he would call on me. And it became so natural. And because it wasn't like a mean thing, it wasn't put me on the spot, but it was definitely a way of growing my confidence in a thing that seemed odd or seemed a little weird or seemed something that I wasn't sitting next to Jesus in the flesh, and so I didn't know how to communicate with him. So for me, prayer really was a journey, and the growth that I've seen in myself through prayer has, it's really been, I think, years and years and years and years on a journey. And so there's two specific times that I feel like I look back on and I'm like, wow, Lord, he got me in those moments of, so I'll just explain. Back in 08, I was at Z-Hop, Zadok House of Prayer in South Carolina, and I was in a prayer meeting, and all of a sudden, I had this overwhelming sense that something was wrong. I didn't know, but I knew at that moment I needed to be on my knees praying for my sister. It almost was like she was injured or something was bad, and I was, you know, across the states. And so I just began to pray. And I that had never happened to me before, but it was all of a sudden like, you need to pray and you need to pray now because what you pray is going to change something. And I was like, okay, so I prayed. Turns out she had gotten into a bit of trouble and ended up coming home, which coming home to our house was, you were in trouble. So it was a trying time for her. And so I didn't know what was going on. I just knew that I had to pray. And so, you know, I never told her that. But so that was in 08. Just as my understanding of prayer was really starting to be opened even more to how deeply connected it's just a conversation with the Lord. It just began to open up to me. Then in 2013, I was actually talking with Kristen over Skype, and my mom had just suffered a brain aneurysm, and I was talking to Kristen. I was in France, and you know, they were all here in Omaha, and I remember saying, Kristen's like, okay, how can I pray? What do you need prayer for? Because there's a lot of moving parts. I just said, I don't want to be mad at God. And that wasn't me. That wasn't my flesh. That was the Lord. And I knew that Kristen was a safe person to say that to, because you don't necessarily can open up like that to everybody and just say, I don't want to be angry with the Lord, because more than likely my mom's going to die. And she did. And so for me, it was, I have seen growth in the area of prayer for me personally, because God has gotten to me to the place where he and I can talk about anything and everything. And I knew that I had kind of reached that point when I said that to him, when I was like, my mom's dying, and so many people go to anger in times of death, times of trial, times of why God. And I did not want to go there, because I knew that if I went there, if I allowed my flesh to step in and cause me to go to that area, my footing would be so off. And so I took that place of God, I'm going to say this to you, and I ran with it. And I, so I feel like over the last 3 years, for me, the personal growth has come from knowing that I can be absolutely and completely real with God. Mm-hmm. I don't have to hide. I don't have to hold back. And so for me, I think that prayer has, that's where I've seen the most personal growth in myself. And I'm not saying that it took a tragedy to get me there.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes I'm a slow learner. And it does. And so, but because I had slowly began to cultivate a relationship and had slowly began to cultivate a prayer life, I was able to get to that place, I think, a lot quicker. Because this was within hours that I was able to step into that place of no. And right. I'm gonna stay in this place of trusting and believing the Lord. So I think that, I don't know, maybe I have a very really different good. Journey, I think, than some people. But yes. So for me, prayer and trust are what have gone, was the hardest part and where I've gotten the most growth in, I think.
So the place of breakthrough came from that place of prayer.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things, and maybe you would totally agree with this, Drew, that what you said too, Nicole, just that cultivating, like it started small.
It did.
And then it grows into something where the foundation, like all of a sudden your foundation is so much thicker than it ever was.
Than I ever would have imagined.
Right.
Like I remember, you know, my mom's death was the most shaking had ever happened in my life. And I remember feeling so immovable in God. I remember feeling so secure when everything around me was completely crumbling. And even to the point where I knew that I wasn't going to, in my natural flesh, be able to make, you know, the journey back home. Corey Russell's words just were in my head, pray in the spirit. What to do is pray in the spirit. Or just, like, literally, I remember I would out loud, people on the plane probably thought I was crazy. And I just, like, I don't know what to say right now, so I'm just going to say Jesus. Jesus. And I did. I just over and over and over again just spoke his name.
Yeah.
And just, and you know, that's prayer.
Yeah, that is prayer. Right on. That is right on. Well, and I just, okay, when you were talking, that's so funny that you went to praying then in the spirit, because I'm thinking, we have to do a podcast about praying in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I literally wrote that down when you were talking. I'm like, wait a minute, we've never even talked about praying in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Which is also another way of growing our personal life.
Yeah.
You know, in ways we don't even understand.
It was that place of, I need something. I need help. I'm out of words. I'm out of being able to do anything but cry at this moment. Mm-hmm. So I am just going to, I just went to that place of praying in my prayer language, and it's amazing what that can do for you.
Amen. Drew?
Yeah, I think, you know, I appreciate some aspects of your journey. I think the prayer for me has also been a journey, but for me it's mostly been finding out who God is, and that's kind of led to me praying more. And it sounds kind of cliche, but first I had to find out that he actually existed, and that took me about 18 years to find out, oh, okay, you're not just something that, you know, some invisible, you know, make-believe friend that everyone in the church has said that I need to talk to and that, you know, is involved in my life. And so when I found out that he actually existed, then I'm like, okay, you know, I guess I can talk to you a little bit. And then in my first year in college, when I really began seeking the Lord wholeheartedly, and there's a lot of my friends and people that I was around that were not seeking the Lord at all. Yeah. And so I just, you know, like, asked the Lord, like, hey, you know, I want this person to be saved. And, you know, like, you know, help them, Lord. You know, my prayer language was very, you know, minimalistic in those early days of just, I don't know what to tell you, so just help them, I guess, save them and whatever. And then little steps, like, okay, inviting that person to Bible study, and sometimes they would come and sometimes they would laugh in my face. And but I you know, I learned, like, there were some moments where I would really see, like, this big answer to my little, weak, minimalistic prayers. And I'm like, oh, like, mm-hmm. you exist, but then you also listen. Mm-hmm. Like, you're actually real. And mm-hmm. most of those people, most of those friends that, you know, I prayed for a lot are still not really serving the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that those early prayers were so much for them, although they were, as they were for me mm-hmm. finding out that the Lord exists, yeah, that he hears, good. That he listens, and, you know, he moves. Mm-hmm. And then I think the last big part of the journey was finding out that not only does he listen, he actually likes to listen. Mm-hmm. And he actually likes who I am despite all of my junk. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, I read through Mike's book on the Song of Songs, or his teaching notes, and I'm like, oh, like, God actually likes me. It's not just like I'm, you know, some slave to him that I have to, mm-hmm. you know, do whatever he says. It's, he actually likes me. And so then, you know, that I think was probably the biggest catapult to mm-hmm. actually praying more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. Even what you're saying, what is so amazing about prayer is that it not only connects and grows our heart, but it does. We realize the nature of God and the qualities of who he is and how superior he is to everything else, and we can trust him. Like what you were saying too, Nicole, there's so much that we learn about who he is when we yield our hearts in surrender, mm-hmm. in the weakness, mm-hmm. in the simplicity of just being like a child and mm-hmm. coming to him in that place of prayer. So, well, we're going to take a short break, and I do believe that we have a wonderful resource that Drew is just waiting to share with us. And then we'll come back and we'll finish up this conversation on growing in our personal life in prayer.
All right, well, welcome back. This is everyone's favorite segment, Reviews by Drew. Woo! And I'm your host, Drew. So let's just dive into our review this month. So this month, our book for our review is called Simply Prayer. Just one word. Experiencing Awe and Intimacy with God is the subtitle, but prayer is the title, and the author is Timothy Keller. And so this is, it's a book, and he goes through a lot of different aspects of prayer, and it's, I hadn't read it before, but I read it in the last month, and he goes through the academic and the theological aspects of prayer and why prayer is important just to the basis of our faith, and then he goes through the practicals of prayer and even goes through some of the theologians, their letters on prayer, like Martin Luther and John Calvin and Augustine and some of the major church theologians throughout history. And so he goes through a lot of stuff and just different practicals as well as the academic. And so I really enjoyed it. I really think that you'll enjoy it as well. It's a bit of a longer book. It's about 260 pages, and the print's kind of small. But just kind of go through it slowly. But one of the things I really liked is he talked about meditation a lot. And he kind of talked, kind of went through the Psalms a little bit. And Psalm 1, he called it a meditation on meditation. And so he talked about the three, you know, the great benefits that meditation brings for us. And one of them is that we'll be stable, that we'll be secure, like a tree. Another one is that we'll gain character. And then the third one, that we will bring that blessedness and that fruit and delight in who the Lord is. And so it's a book called Prayer by Timothy Keller, and it just really helps you launch deeper into your relationship with the Lord as you go deeper. And so that's Prayer by Timothy Keller, Experiencing Awe and Intimacy with God. Until next month, with Reviews by Drew.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the resources with
yes.
Drew.
Reviews
yes, the reviews. Drew. I'm sorry, the reviews by Drew, yes. as he shared on that book of
you have such a
prayer.
Psychologist voice too.
He does, doesn't he? He's got like that radio quiet
yes!
voice.
Sorry.
Call in if you just need if you need prayer. Call in if you need some counsel. Maybe we could do one of those.
We could add a new segment.
We could add a segment. counseling. By Drew. Oh, it's just silly all up in here. Well, what one of the things I was just sharing with Nicole and Drew that I feel like the Lord has been speaking to me, so I don't have it fully, I don't have a full understanding where I even feel like my heart's even really gripped the reality, but one of the things that the Lord does with me in prayer is I love to pray scripture for my own heart. I pray the promises of God's word for my children. I pray the promises of God for my marriage and my husband, and I do it in all different kinds of areas. So prosperity, I'm looking at my little note cards right now, testimony of deliverance, healing, identity, and I just speak those things over. I write the scriptures out, like, with my name in them or whoever I'm praying for, and I'm believing the Lord because he's faithful to his word. But in that, I feel like there's layers of it. And I was just listening to Chris Vallotton yesterday, actually, and he was talking about how he said, I feel like the Lord gives me revelation in layers. Like, mm-hmm. It's, you know, there's something that the Lord reveals to your heart and you think, oh, I got it. And then, like, 2 years later, it's something and you're like, oh, that's a deeper layer of, and I like that. So I feel like even in this, with the place of growing personally in prayer, the last probably few weeks, the Lord's had me in Matthew 13 on the parable of the sower, which is also in, I think it's in Luke and Mark.
Yeah.
I think it's in all three of them. But in Matthew 13, the parable that Jesus gives is about the farmer who goes out to sow his seed, and he sows seed along rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came out, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Oh, and I missed one that falls along the path and there's no soil there and the birds just scoop it up. And so that's the first one. It falls along the path. Then the second soil, it's in the rocky places. Then the third soil, it says the seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And then the other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. And Jesus ends that with saying, whoever has ears, let him hear. So then he goes on to explain to the disciples what it actually means. So here's what I feel like the Lord has been showing me in my own prayer life. And I'm working through this right now with the Lord for an area. And I love to pray. The other thing I feel like, and Nicole, you were sharing this earlier about your prayer life has just grown so strong in trusting God. Mm-hmm. And I feel like one of the things that the Lord does when we pray is he strengthens us in who he is. Mm-hmm. So there are qualities, I feel like his nature, like I'm wanting to understand who he is. And so I'll just declare like scriptures of his providence or scriptures of that he's provider. Whatever I'm feeling like in my heart, I want to get a handle on. Mm-hmm. And what happens in that is that I feel like, especially when I'm praying and seeking him for who he is, my heart is like the soil, mm-hmm. those four different types of soil. Mm-hmm. That the first time that I'm praying something about God's character. I'm praying about something that for my kids or for my own heart, that it lands, it doesn't even land on a soil. It like mm-hmm. lands on just a path. Mm-hmm. And because I have there's no place for that to even land in my heart, it's like it's just scooped up. And I don't know if the enemy takes it away or my own flesh can't believe it or whatever, you know. And then it'll be a while later where the Lord just brings that quality of who he is back to my heart, and I'll just pray it. I'll pray it, God, that you are my provision. The one scripture that I will tell you keeps coming up with me, and it's been 4 years now, and I know it's in Jeremiah, and I can't remember where it is, but we don't trust in, I don't boast in, oh, it's the song we used to sing.
Horses and chariots.
Yep, we don't boast in horses and chariots. Mm. And our trust is, I only boast in the Lord. Like, mm-hmm. he's my only boast. So, okay, so I pray that. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. So I start praying it, and yes, Lord, you are my only boast. I don't trust in anything else. I don't put my security in anything else. Okay, really?
Yeah.
So then, as I'm praying it, it lands in my heart, but it doesn't land there. There's no soil for that to land. So the Lord takes me through some things, mm-hmm. tenderizing my heart, tilling up the soil. Mm-hmm. Can I get an amen? Yep. And yes. I get that scripture again. So now I'm on literally year three or four, and I have refused to go and actually look at the scripture because I know what the Lord's doing. So the second time, the Lord plants it a little deeper as I'm praying it, mm-hmm. but I get worried. You know, he talks about the worries. Let me see where it is. Oh, see, this is, I should have had this all thought through. So it's the soil that it's fallen on the rocky ground. Mm-hmm. And because they have no root, it only lasts for a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, it falls away. So again, I don't have a deep root for it. Mm-hmm. So that word can't land there and it just falls away. Give me a little bit more time and the Lord is stirring my heart. He's mm-hmm. tilling me up and he's preparing me for that word again as I'm praying and the Lord remind me of it. And then it goes into a soil that might be a little deeper, but all of a sudden I'm thinking, can I really put my trust there? Can I really, mm-hmm. is that really who he is? And that then it talks about how it's, those are the thorns. They've heard the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke it out. So, you know, what am I trusting in? What is the Lord? Can I really trust him for whatever it is that I'm believing him for? And then he brings it around again. And finally, my heart has been softened where I can receive that word. And I don't think that it's a rebellion. Like, even when I said that about the scripture, I don't think it's a rebelliousness. But what I feel like when the Lord, and you guys might totally agree with this, when I'm praying and I'm really sensing, I'm knowing what the Lord is wanting me to grow in. Mm-hmm. I know. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's such a vulnerable place.
Yeah.
And it's so raw that along with that comes, oh, Lord, I know if I go there, I know what that might mean. And I feel like the bride in mm-hmm. Song of Solomon, where she tells in Song of Solomon 3, you know, Jesus is inviting her, come up the mountains. I'm leaping over them. I'm bounding over them. Mm-hmm. There's no fear. And she's like, just turn.
Yeah.
Turn. I'm not ready
Go
for
without
that.
Me.
Go without
mm-hmm.
me. I'm not ready yet. And so mm-hmm. for me, this parable of the sower, of the seed, has connected to my heart in that way where, I mean, it's just been, I mean, and the Lord's really been showing me that over and over. I'm like, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. That is, Lord, I don't want to be a thorny soil. I don't want to be a rocky mm-hmm. soil. I want to have good soil for anything that you want to impart to me to really go deep, and I believe it, and it won't be moved. Kind of like mm-hmm. what you were mm-hmm. talking about, being unmovable.
Yeah.
And what you were talking about, Drew, where, you know, especially when we're first starting to grow in prayer, where God answers so quickly. Do you know those people now? You know, they pray, and it's like the Lord just answers right away. You're like, come on, Jesus!
Yeah. Is there such a thing as holy envy? Because
yeah, right?
I have that right now. Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know if that connects with...
Well, I think that the reality of praying scripture
mm-hmm.
is something that is kind of a mysterious thing,
mm-hmm.
at least my generation. I mm-hmm. could be off on that, but, you know, people tell me all the time, well, prayer is so boring. Well, maybe the way you're doing it. I mean, yes,
right.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's mundane, but, I mean, it's like, I don't know what to pray or whatever. We have so many truths and so many, like, okay, here, parable.
Yeah.
Of junky hearts, yucky hearts,
yeah.
and Jesus saying, here's how to get out of, like,
yeah.
here's how to have good soil. Here's how to have a heart that is ready to receive me.
Mm-hmm.
He lays it out. And so it's like, once we open the scripture and begin to have that dialogue with the Lord, we're going to grow, whether it's small, whether it's big, whether it's slow, whether it's fast. It doesn't matter. You're going to grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You
That's
know,
good.
No matter what. I mean, I resist Song of Songs a lot. These two will attest to that. But, you know, darn it, I have grown a lot when I have allowed myself to go to that vulnerable place and pray through that.
Yeah.
You know, pray through those, just that, yes, Lord, yes, Jesus, I'll go with you. I'm scared to death, but I'll go with you. So.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that, you know, even for my own life, there's certain things that it's like, oh, it just comes up again.
Yes.
And a lot of times I think I add in a lot of my own pride in there. Like, I think that I've learned it. Like, I don't even, sometimes I don't even see that the seed was robbed from me or that, you know, it got choked up or anything. I'm just like, yeah, I know that one. Like, I took the class, you know, like, I listened to some sermon on that one and studied it out in my Bible.
I got that one down.
You know, like, I have that, I can even show you it in my journal. Like, yeah. I wrote the notes for it and, you know, I learned that lesson and,
yeah.
And then it comes around again and it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, wait. Yeah. Did I really learn it?
Yeah.
And then I feel like I have to go back. Sometimes I feel like I start all over at mm-hmm. soil one again. Yeah. I never even learned mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
I just thought I did.
Well, and I do feel like I do feel like this is an over and over and over mm-hmm. and over and over. Because when you get when you have that good soil, there's such fruit that comes from that. And then I feel like you have such authority. Like, there are things I have learned that the Lord has taken me, and in prayer, I have grown so much, and I've gained authority mm-hmm. in prayer. I've gained authority over that area, but it came from a lot of resistance and trial, I mm-hmm. think, even in it, while I was even praying for something.
Yeah.
And now, if somebody is like, you know, oh, I just don't really, I don't know if I have faith for that. Oh, I've got faith for that because mm-hmm. I've seen the Lord work
yeah.
in that in my life or my family's life or whatever it is. And I can stand with you. And I do think that that's part of the fruitfulness of the 30, 60, 90, 100 fold mm-hmm. that we get because we want our lives to be fruitful for the Lord and that,
yeah.
you know, we would constantly be growing in prayer. And scripture just offers
yeah.
such a good, like, if you don't know what to pray, you yeah. just get out the word. Pray through Psalms. My goodness sake. There's so much to stand on in the book mm-hmm. of Psalms. That's what were true. You going to say? I know you pulled out your.
Well, and actually something else just came to my mind.
Oh. Awesome.
But just the reality of sometimes it takes a while.
Yeah.
You know, in personal growth in the area of prayer, it does take it does take time because it's so countercultural.
Yeah,
just,
right.
Let's just be real. But what came to my mind was the parable of the 10 virgins
mm, mm-hmm.
and how just the idea that, no, we don't use oiled lamps anymore, so mm-hmm. but I love lanterns. So the fact of the matter is the oil burns off. Mm-hmm. Like, it burns out, mm-hmm. and you have to continually replacing the oil.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have it, your light's going to burn out, right. and it's just going to be burnt out. And so it's just that idea with prayer is you can't just fill yourself
yeah, right
up
on.
Once
right.
and think that that's going to last the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's, too, the frustration of people in the church. It's you can't get filled up once and then
yeah,
expect
right.
that one word to last you the next decade.
Yeah.
It's not going to. And so when it comes to prayer, it's continually filling your
good.
Mind, continually filling your life, your heart. You know, continually saying no to quote unquote pleasurable things
mm-hmm.
to get in the secret
mm-hmm,
place,
right.
to get in the closet to pray. And so, I think that was for me.
Yeah.
just as much as it was for anybody else. He's like, where's your oil? And just the reality of that, you know, he wants us to continually to be filled so that it's brighter and brighter
mm-hmm.
and brighter and brighter.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
amen.
But it does, the lamp will go out if you don't put in more
mm-hmm.
oil.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that, for me, that really is how I can see prayer.
Mm-hmm.
In the light is that closeness with God,
mm-hmm.
and the oil is the time that I put into my relationship
mm-hmm.
with him, getting up, praying, journaling, reading the word, and really cultivating that deepness with the
mm-hmm.
Lord.
Okay, and I just want to say something to that because the oil is expensive.
Yeah, it costs.
It costs. It costs. I just saw that movie Queen of Ketway last weekend, and she, the girl, the star of that movie, the little girl who's the chess girl,
mm-hmm.
she wants to read the chess books by night, and her mom tells her, You can't keep the light burning. Mm-hmm. And when you were talking, it just reminded me, because the oil is expensive. Mm-hmm. It is costly. And for mm-hmm. us, it's costly mm-hmm. to go and spend time in prayer. It's costly. It brings such an amazing reward.
Yeah.
But there is a cost. There is an expense. And you trade one thing mm-hmm. for another mm-hmm. to receive that intimacy mm-hmm. in prayer.
Yeah.
It's good.
That's true.
It's good. That's good. All right. Well, I don't know. Anything else? Any other comments? No? Okay. Well, I guess we're done. That's how it goes here. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. All right, Nicole. No, Drew, do you want to tell us what's coming up at the end?
Certainly.
In November already, because
well,
we're
in
already
November,
moving into that.
Oh, 11th and 12th.
Yes.
We are going to be joining the Underground House of Prayer in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And they're having a conference, and they're bringing up Corey Russell, who is he's a speaker from IHOP. If you haven't heard him, he's really awesome, and you'll
yeah.
be really
phenomenal.
Convicted.
Yeah.
So feel free to join us there. It's November 11th and 12th. We have the details on our website and on Facebook as well. Mm-hmm. So we'd love to see you there, as we'll be there. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's it until
next month.
Until next month.
So keep up to date
oh, right
on Facebook with the
prayer challenge.
We still have another week and a half to go.
Right.
So jump on board Facebook and also on the website.
That's right. You pray those promises
yes.
and you grow in your personal life just
yes.
as we are. And let the seed go deep.